I'm informed that then if you will be joining us in a short while, but because we've got meetings after this meeting that we need to race off to, I suggest that we get started. We'll welcome him when he enters the meeting in order to save time. I don't know if there is a need for introduction. I think we already know one another, not unless there are people that have not met us before from the side of the Eastern Cape. We can then make do introductions for that reason. Are there officials that haven't met from the Eastern Cape that do not know the members of the Select Committee?
Yeah, I think they are. Okay. The team behind us, I think Mr. Ray Chwakati, who is the TTG, he would be the one who would be doing the presentation, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. The team behind the TTG is Ms. Fuchane, who's the Chief Director. She used to be in higher education. You used to meet her at higher education, but she decided to go home to the Eastern Cape and join me. And next to her is the Cluster Chief Director, Mr. Mkida, responsible for Cluster A. Next to Mr. Mkida is Mr. Jack, is also a Chief Director, responsible for Cluster B in the Eastern Cape. I think that is the team from the Eastern Cape.
Thank you. Is there anybody don't know from National? TG? Okay. I am Mrs. Zwane, the Chairperson of Education and Recreation in the National Council of Provinces. I am representing KwaZulu-Natal. Honourable members.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, everybody. Ke tsa bana go ile ke garbe ya mapuru e tswa Limpopo province ke le lokola committee ke se tsa committee ka lona
mandini bulisana le nyanga ya mapuru na mapa le go phindela samka o mele iphondo le mpuma koloni apa mna so council province.
Thank you, Chair. Ngiyabingelela mina igama uDelisile wabangwenya. I represent a province as a Gauteng, member of the NCOP, excuse me, and member of this committee. Thank you.
Kusile Malangeni. Ibito lami ngilandvulile uKandlamini. Ngibuya kule province lenhle kuthiwa iMpumalanga. Ngiyabonga.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning. My name is Mntomuhle Khawula, a member of the NCOP representing the Kingdom of KwaZulu-Natal.
Good morning. Now, after the Prince, my name is Chris Harting. I'm from the Northwest Province, member of the committee.
This is a very fortunate committee. It has got princes and princesses. The purpose of our engagement today is based on the fact that as NCOP, we conducted a pre-visit to the Eastern Cape with a view to checking what is happening after we had passed a budget to go to different provinces and roll out the programs there. So we visited the Eastern Cape as a pre-visit first on the 18th to the 21st of October 2016. That was the previous year. And then the actual taking parliament to the people was conducted from the 14th to the 18th of November. And after both these visits, we generated a report of our findings, and we also forwarded to the Basic Education Department and this include recommendations of what needed to be attended to. Some of the issues can be attended in the short term, some in the medium term, and some in the long term. We have started a process as the National Council of Provinces of making follow-ups, because many a times we make recommendations we leave the provinces with the hope that what we have recommended will be implemented, only to find that maybe 5 years down the line, nothing was done. So we've begun a process whereby we invite the departments, or we can even go to the provinces to actually conduct spot checks in terms of what, of whether what the provinces are reporting is correct. Now, as we commence with the engagement, maybe it would be proper for us to allow the DG to make a prefacing remarks, because at the end of the day, the buck stops at his door. Over to you, Puchi.
Honorable Chair, honorable members, the SG of the Eastern Cape colleagues, thank you very much for affording us this opportunity, Chair. In a few minutes to indicate that we take your oversight visits very, very serious, to the extent that we follow up on each of the visits that you are making. We have forwarded a report of the presentation that's going to be made today. The Eastern Cape Department of Education has even provided, in addition to the PowerPoint presentation, a comprehensive update on each of the 29 schools that were visited during the oversight visit. I must also indicate, Chair, that it's not only about the Eastern Cape, Northern Cape, Limpopo. As you'd recall, we have also forwarded reports to your committee. I must indicate that challenging and difficult and sometimes vexing as the concurrent functions can be, we are beginning to find each other between the Department of Basic Education and Provincial Education Departments. And that happens as a result of the working relationship of the Committee of Heads of Departments, as well as the Council of Education Ministers Committee, which also ensures that we do follow up on all of these things that you pick up. And these visits are extremely important to us because they help to pick up our blind spots in the course of doing our work. On that basis then, Chair, if you allow me, I had indicated to the Chair that there are two meetings happening at the same time. The Portfolio Committee on Basic Education is receiving our quarterly report for 2017-2018. I've started the meeting, which started at 9:30, and I requested to be recused that side to come to this side, to spend some time with the committee and then go back there, if you allow. Mrs. Kyobeka is here as the responsible branch head coordinating the work of districts and provinces. In case I'm not here, Chair, it shouldn't suggest that DBE is not here. Mrs. Kyobeka and Mr. Mlambo are here and will be able to respond and provide the information that is required. Otherwise, if the Chair allows, I will then hand over to Mr. Jogadi to take the committee's presentation.
No, thank you, Gigi. Before you do that, maybe one would love to hear the department before they begin the presentation.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. The DG, Ms. Kyobeka, and colleagues. I think what we have done in Eastern Cape, I think we have started to strengthen monitoring and support to schools. And that you will see in the reflection of the report that we provided. And constantly we ensure that the people who are responsible, the officials responsible for monitoring and support to schools are actually trained to do so, and we developed instruments for them to monitor and support schools and feedback into the system. The report they're going to get is indicative of the systems that we have developed in the province for us to can be able to provide reports on a continuous basis, both to the oversight committees as well as to the Department of Basic Education as such. So, and we had hoped that the Honorable MEC, when he arrives, I know that he's not well, but he had ensured that he does come here. We spoke to him in the morning, but he will really be arriving to join us here, because he respects the committee. So we had to recognize that. So I will now allow Mr. Jogadit to take us through, but this is indicative of the general trend in the province, as the DG has indicated, that the strengthening of monitoring and support to school has been the main focus of us in the department. Thank you very much.
Okay, no, just for the record, we did get information from the office of the MEC that he's not well. He's been to hospital, has had an operation and so on. But we would appreciate it if he does manage to come. But we were informed that he's not well. I forgot to register apologies, honorable members. Honorable Mpambo Sibokwane is not well, I'm informed, as well as Honorable Mshudi. Thank you. We can then proceed with the presentation.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Member, DG, Basic Education, SG, Eastern Cape Department of Education, and officials that are part of our delegation. Good morning this morning. Chair, we have provided two types of documents. There is a written word, which is an account on each of the schools in terms of the findings and progress that was made for both municipalities that members visited. And then we took from that and extracted what we are going to make as a PowerPoint presentation to reflect on that. So it doesn't take away from members getting to a specific school, which is also in the other two documents, which is the word version. I will go through the summarized version. Chair, summarily, for the two municipalities, Alfred Nzo and BCM, we took account of the schools, total number of schools that we visited. ECD centers, both in both cases, 1-1 in each cases, in each of the cases. Primary schools, Alfred Nzo, there were 8. BCM, 4 primary schools. Secondary schools, 11 Alfred Nzo, 6 BCM that we visited, which gives us a total of 17. Comprehensive schools, 2 in Alfred Nzo and 1 in BCM, which gives us 3. Then technical high schools is only 1 in Alfred Nzo. There was no technical high school visited in BCM. Special schools, 3 in Alfred Nzo, also 3 in BCM. And then last but not least, independent schools with only 1 Alfred Nzo that you visited, and there was no one in the BCM. I will start with Buffalo City findings and go straight into special schools and follow with public schools. Under special schools, there are 2 schools that had issues similar. St. Thomas Schools for the Deaf, as well as Airport, where full service lower primary school. The findings, I will just talk to the finding and the progress we've made as a department in relation to that finding. The first finding, the committee found that the department should ensure the appointment of teachers who are properly qualified in sign language. And just to give progress, that the department has already started with training sessions for all teachers in our special schools for the blind and the deaf on the sign language. Also, the program has involved the training of our officials at head office, especially in the section that deals with special schools. Then the second finding was in relation to the property status at St. Thomas School for the Deaf, and the committee was recommending that the department should investigate the matter of renovating or buying the building from the Catholic Church as soon as possible. I'm happy to report that the property at St. Thomas has been bought by the department, which is the church was willing to enter into a transaction, and they sold the property to the department. Thirdly, the finding at St. Thomas again was on whether the department should look into reopening of the workshop at the school for skills training. And the resolution or the progress that we've made is that we are planning that in 2018 we are installing the workshop at St. Thomas, and that is part of the skills curriculum for special schools that we are embarking on. There is a national pilot, but we're adding them as part of our schools that will have their workshops revamped. But the target is 2018 for St. Thomas. Then the fourth issue is on the vacancies. Two posts of deputy principals at St. Thomas that were not filled. Then I'm happy to report that the two deputy principal posts have since been filled at St. Thomas. The department should also consider the full adaptation of the curriculum for the schools, and I'm also happy to report that the curriculum adaptation framework has now been finalized. 116 district officials were trained in curriculum adaptation, and 2,732 teachers trained from 382 schools. These are schools that include full-service schools, as well as public schools with cases of special needs in education identified. Then the second school that had peculiar issues under special schools in BCM is school Disa Special School. The finding of the committee was that the department should ensure that more classrooms are built in this school. And since the committee visit, we were able to deploy what we call temporary classrooms for the relief that was needed by the school. So far we've tried to, because the numbers are not growing as fast as we wish, but we felt that to relieve the pressure.
That's why members are raising the issue that the report, the presentation that we are presenting now is not in the page. It's not that it's not there. The only problem is that you skipped a brochure which is being followed by Fundis.
Our presentation is back to back. I don't know how yours is.
Because what we have here is that for the end, for the end, that's the cover in one page. Yes, combined. But what we have is two separate pages. That's where the problem is.
Okay. But are you at airport right now?
We combine issues between airport and
St. Thomas.
And St. Thomas.
Because they were common.
Yeah, they were common issues in terms of fighting.
Okay.
But
thank
in
you.
The original write-up, because the parents said that. So then they said in the original write-up. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you have a page, which means you have a page with airport right? And with the separate.
Yes.
Right. So in this presentation, you're trying to combine.
Okay, continue. Maybe as we proceed, let us welcome the MEC. We are more than happy that you did manage to come, notwithstanding the fact that we got a report that you're not well. But because duty calls, you're a soldier, you had to wake up and come. Thank you. Maybe because the head of department has already made the remarks, I don't know if you can just chip in here before we proceed and make remarks, or you prefer to make remarks at the end? Okay. Okay. No, let us have you say something at the end of the presentation. Thank you. You can then continue.
Thank you, Chair. Just to apologize for what they become, because we combined the process and as well as the presentation you had, they were separated. And then Fundisa Special Schools, the finding was that there should be more classrooms built in the school as there was a dire need. And since the committee visit, the department has been able to provide temporary classrooms at Fundisa. Then the second finding on Fundisa is the department should explore possibilities of assisting the school with required larger buses. And the department has already procured additional buses for special schools. As a result, a pressing need now is shortage of drivers, not shortage of buses. So after the committee had visited, we then supplied the schools with buses. Both of the drivers have been advertised in all of the schools, and we then almost have the number of requisite buses that are required by the special schools. Then the third finding is the department should ensure that the required learning and development programs for autistic learners are prioritized. And with the in response, the department has already started in the empowerment of autistic learners. Then they've looked at exploration of suitable development programs that have been made. But just to say to members, we are almost at the planning stages of doing that. We have not done it already, but it's a matter that we've taken up. That is outside the fact that there are suitable schools designated autistic schools, but I think members were saying that on top of what we're doing, include autism as an area of specialty. Vukuhambe, special school. In terms of the findings, committee had picked up that budget utilization at Vukuhambe seems to be a problem, especially how the school utilizes its norms and standards funding. And as a response, what the department has done was to instruct the district to start monitoring, and now the district is reporting that they have started monitoring the school's budget and expenditure patterns more closely. The district has monthly FinCom reports that are submitted with bank statements to the district by the school. And then the second finding was safety and security, which posed a problem. Appointments in vacancies were done, especially at Vukuhambe, in relation to security, but also appointments in relation to both professional staff and non-professional staff. The district directors have been given delegations to hire post-level 1 educators across schools, and cluster chief directors were also given delegation to appoint promotional posts, which is your heads of departments as well as deputy principals. So in this case, we're dealing with the backlog of vacancies that were coming up as a result of high rate of resignations. And then the third finding is non-teaching staff, especially teacher aides and security area, where there were challenges. So I just want to say that, again, the issue of non-teaching staff has been addressed now in terms of the posts that were advertised in relation to this and the filling of those posts to appoint non-teaching staff. That was Vukuhambe, which was the last school under PCM on special schools. And then public ordinary school findings in PCM, we lifted areas of findings, and that is the summary of findings that came from the public schools or public ordinary schools under PCM. LTSM shortages, furniture shortages, dilapidated infrastructure, poor leadership and poor management of schools, teacher quality and support to schools, teenage pregnancy, school safety, drug and school abuse, and alcohol abuse. So what we've done is to pick up each one of these areas just to give the progress that we've made. But the detail per school is in the right document.
Let me just interject you. Let me just interject you just say, not unless I'm lost, but according to the presentation that I have, we have not finished it. Am I right, members? There's another page about Vukuhamba that we did not deal with. Adaptation of CAPS. Policy that shows differentiation of curriculum.
So which means the presentation that we gave you is not what is emailed to you, which is what I'm showing up here.
If you were to allow us, Honorable Chene, if we could talk to the hard copy, and let's talk to the hard copy, because I know that what we emailed then in August, we might try to nuance it with the further developments. That's why we're putting them together. So I think let's talk to the hard copy, if Honorable Chair would allow.
Yeah.
So that we're not skipping, because the presentation that we have here, it does not speak to this one. So I would love us that let's stick to this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have it here.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's ignore this one.
Yeah.
Okay. Because this has changed.
Okay.
What is
it? Yeah. In terms of formatting.
Yeah, in terms of the content. Let me rather speak to what you have.
All right.
Honorable Chair, I'm sorry for that. Let's go back to the page then that we skipped. Again, on Vukuhamba, there was a finding on adaptation that has to be made on co-curriculum to cater for special schools. And then what the department wants to report is that the SMT has had a discussion with our directorate responsible for special schools just to discuss discrepancies, especially on the quality and qualifications of appointments that have been made, so that staff who are appointed can be staff that are appropriately trained to deal with training needs and teaching needs of the special schools. And then there should be a policy for special schools in South Africa which will show differentiation in curriculum. But that's a broad general statement. You know, it applies to all schools. But just to say that as a matter of response, the department has started to deal with procurement of assistive devices that were allocated to all of the special schools to assist our schools with teaching and learning to cater for differentiation and differentiation needs. And then the next one is specialist inclusive education in both should ensure that they make an impact on the sector, which was also a broad statement, a policy statement. And then the Select Committee on Education is the creation of the SOP to conduct an oversight visit early next year to the school with the purpose of assessing progress made. And also the school should develop an infrastructure plan reflecting the school needs that require intervention from the department. Just to say, Chair, the department has already attended to the issue of adaptation according to curriculum guidelines, and then the school has received assistance with regard to general maintenance and repairs during 2017, and that is starting now in September 2017 in terms of the support on the infrastructure project. Then, overall public order schools findings, as I've listed, is LTSM, LTSM shortages, furniture shortages, up to drug and alcohol abuse. Honorable Chair, I just want to take each of the areas one by one as it is reflected in them. Health and safety of learners. The recommendation of the committee was that the provincial department should collaborate with the Department of Health in ensuring that learners at school receive support and guidance in respect of early pregnancy. We are happy to report, Honorable Chair, that an MOU has been signed with the Department of Health and Social Development on school health, collaboration. That's what we call integrated school health program. And then this is based upon teams made up of these departments have been established to support our schools, especially at district level. And then the second finding in relation to health and safety is that the provincial education department should ensure that schools collaborate with SAPS in respect of the Adopt a School initiative. And I'm happy to report that schools at risk are already linked to SAPS as part of the departmental memorandum of understanding on school safety. And this is already shown up in the northern areas where the problem is rife, especially in what department. LTSM, the finding on the learning and teaching material was that the committee advised that the department should ensure that there was a focused intervention on the supply of textbooks, shortages of stationery, all other things that relate to resourcing of schools. And in response to the department, or to report back to the committee, this is what the department has done. The department had embarked on a comprehensive program of a corrective order which looked at which textbooks were running in shortage in which schools. And they issued that order so that all schools with shortages are covered in that order. And the procurement was done, especially in the period between 15 January and 28 February, which was the delivery period. Just to say to members that almost all our schools then were covered in terms of that order. As a result, in 2017-2018, we'll have much less order in terms of schools because of that. So all textbooks and stationery and resource supplies were provided to schools in full by the end of March 2017. And now the department has activated the policy on book retrieval, and a memo has been sent to schools just to make them aware that there is this policy on retrieval. All regularly delivered LTSM titles have now been retrieved back from schools to the warehouse for correct distribution. Some schools are Afrikaans medium, they were delivered English medium material, so we're to recoup all of that material back to our warehouse. Then the department has gone out on tender for the collection and warehousing of extra material that will be coming from this process. That is LTSM in broad general terms, but we have also a detailed scope in terms of what we've done per school. School furniture. The finding was that there is a dire need of shortage. There's a dire need of furniture and large shortages of furniture in many schools that the committee members visited. And this is the progress we wanted to give in broad terms around school furniture. The department concluded an audit exercise in collaboration with DBE by the end of 2016. The results of the audit that were captured in the furniture audit database, which has been maintained by DBE and ourselves. Then July 2017, 1,100 order forms were received from schools, and these orders informed the placement of orders by schools. And then the orders amounted to 244,870 units of desks and chairs that were ordered by schools. 50% of the deliveries were almost to be concluded by the end of August 2017. And I'm happy to say that that 50% has been concluded by almost last week. They were reporting that 48% has been done of that order. Approximately 158,000 chairs to be delivered to schools by the end of November 2017. The furniture audit also reveals that there were over 150,000 items of surplus furniture in schools, and further 30,000 items of furniture at various schools that can be repaired. We then went out on tender for service providers that were going to collect and store and distribute this under adjudication. That was under adjudication at that time, but as yesterday, I was trying to find out yesterday where the adjudication is. It has now been adjudicated for collection and storage in warehouses for repairs. Five regional warehouses have already been procured for this purpose. That means collection of the dilapidated furniture and the repairs of those. So just to say, Chair, we will only be able to see the results of that program probably by end of March next year, where there will be full-blown deliveries to schools in terms of all the furniture that has been revamped. The third area is school management and leadership. The finding was that the provincial education department should also ensure that schools are assisted with strengthening school management teams. Chair, we are happy to report that as a department, we have embarked on a program of mentoring and coaching, which means all other faculty principals were placed under a program of mentorship where we got retired principals who were good in the past, as well as retired second managers or inspectors who were good in the past. But also, we extended the invite to leaders in industry or captains of industry who are retired, who are interested in coaching a school. And that program has now been going on for the past 18 months, which is looking at mentoring and coaching. And then the second big initiative on school management development is training of school principal on curriculum leadership. And that program has now been concluded, where we've taken all of our principals through that module, and we've done that in collaboration with DBE and the School of Governance, where we're looking at modules that can support principals in better managing curriculum. And in this case, we've almost done with that one. We're now busy training heads of departments on curriculum leadership and curriculum management. We are doing this in collaboration with GLFA, which is General Motors. The foundation, General Motors Foundation, has been piloting a school management model for years in this decade. So in collaboration with them, we then got into this program where we're working together. And then the fourth area is teacher development. And the finding is that the department should consider quality programs for teacher development and training at all levels. Just to say, Chair, that four teacher development institutes have been set up to support teachers, and each of these have been designated in specific areas. These are Algoa in Port Elizabeth, the Education Leadership Institute in East London, Trinset in Umtata, as well as the Queenstown Science Center in Queenstown. These are all designated as support and development centers for all of our teachers. As we discussed, we can give details where members need more detail. On top of that, there are 9 teacher centers that were refurbished and connected to support teacher training. These centers are located in our small towns, like your Alwal North, you know. So you'll find that historically, there has been a teacher center, but on a very small scale. We've revamped them, and we've done that in collaboration with Vodacom, because Vodacom had a huge interest in distance education and teacher development using ICT. We have 9 of them in total. And then thirdly, we have what we now call a virtual teacher development program, which we've piloted in 2 districts. And the intention is to start a broadcast program for the department where we are training teachers from distance using a broadcast mechanism. So we teach centrally, and we touch number of schools and number of children from one central point. So we're launching it last week provincially, also in collaboration with a number of partners in the department. And then last but not least, Chair, on teacher development, we have started the introduction of ICTs in education using what we call Teacher Laptop Initiative. All our foundation paid teachers have now been supplied with laptops. They then get loaded our educational content, which is going to assist them to start developing lesson plans using their laptops. So all of the foundation paid teachers have now been supplied with laptops. Then under BCM, the last item is school poverty profiles, and I should think the committee found a complaint from a number of schools that they've been wrongly classified. A wrong classification means you are classified quintile 5 when you are supposed to be quintile 3. So the committee picked that up. We then made progress, Chair. There are 2 areas where this was prevalent. The first one is Port Elizabeth, and the other one is PCM, which is Buffalo City. In Port Elizabeth, we have processed all of their submissions that they made on quintiling. Whether we have agreed with them or disagreed with them, but we have processed their requests. And then in East London or PCM, that's where we found that principals were very slow in making submissions. Just to say, Chair, the application will always come from the school, given the demographics of the learners, as well as the poverty profiles of the learners. And then the principal takes the initiative and make the application. That I've been a quintile four, now I think I must be a quintile two. So we've dealt with that, and we are now pushing East London to conclude its cases. Chair, I'm done with BCM and the findings of BCM. I'm now getting into Alfred Zor District Municipality. Chair, again, I will start with special schools in and I'll go straight to findings, Chair. The infrastructure upgrades. In Alfred Zor on infrastructure upgrades, I should think here there was a reference to prefabs, RCD, ESCOM, especially electricity supply, water supply, sanitation, as well as high-scale fencing and access roads. Those are the main issues that came out in broad terms. And then the recommendation of the committee was that detailed plans should be provided to NCOP. Working relations with local municipalities for inclusion in IDPs must be considered. Adequate and permanent infrastructure with mobile classrooms and flushable toilets should be considered by the department. In fact, on the cases of the schools, these are the schools that were listed that had an infrastructure issue. Nyani, Sole, Khranje, Zwelakhem, Tonjeni, Lutateni, Zamokuhle, up to Musaseli, and these are the schools that were picked up in terms of the infrastructure issues. And in all of the schools, we were able to provide mobile classrooms that we provided through the Department of Public Works as an implementing agent of the department for all of these schools where there were classroom shortages. School furniture, I should think the recommendation was that wherever there's a need, we should provide furniture. As I've said, there's already a tender out on furniture. Combination and single desks were provided to every school in need, especially in Afran Zor, where there was a dire need for schools visited by the committee. Under Afran Zor, LTS supply, the finding was that a comprehensive report of delivery to be provided in November, textbook retention policy should be known by the parents, as well as the decentralization of LTSM procurement. Chair, just to say that on the decentralization issue, it's always a policy issue because there was also an instruction, you know, that we should centralize. But the committee was recommending that we decentralize the budget for LTSM. Just to say that EDOs are second managers or second inspectors. In this case, they've almost developed the retrieval policies and they are in schools and they are monitoring the implementation of them. Surplus books have been requested, just like they did in Buffalo City, and the schools most affected here were Bergview, Chief Dumile, Dudumeni, Lupilisweni, Bodombini, and Mosasili. These were the schools that were highly affected. Scholar transport and hostel accommodation. The finding was that learners walking more than 5 kilometers should be provided with scholar transport. Huge demand for scholar transport in some areas where learners are traveling 16 kilometers in excess, that was desirable. Alternatively, build hostels. Just to report on progress, Chair, the Department of Education and Transport working together have made a presentation to Treasurer on the shortages. Just to say that the latest is that we were requested to provide data of all the routes that were not catered for. So that is the development that happened after we submitted this report that we budgeted for it. So by Friday, Treasurer wants us this Friday to give them an updated list of learners with IDs who require scholar transport who are outstanding. We reported 30,000 chairs that were outside what we are already transporting in the Eastern Cape. So that will address the cases of Zululwazi and Mosasibi School. And then the third issue is the issue of birth certificates and IDs for learners. And I should think the finding was that establish working relations and system with sister departments like Home Affairs, SASA, to assist learners in rural and remote areas, particularly getting IDs. Chair, at district level, in collaboration with other departments, there is progress that the department is making in allocating birth certificates and IDs for all learners that have incorrect IDs or do not have IDs altogether. So we are working together with those departments. What I could do is to look for numbers, how many more that are still outstanding. I don't have them with me now in terms of the exact number, but we can look for that. But schools that were affected when you visited is Maluti, Makumuso, Lutatene, Lupiliso. Those were the schools that were affected when you visited the district. Rural allowance to educators. The finding is that the department should implement policy and pay qualifying educators. Chair, just to say that it's also something very it's complex a bit in the sense that we had reviewed the policies and department because not everybody qualifies for rural allowance. The agreement at the chamber was that we should implement policy. We had asked an organization, it's a parastatal exec, to look at a much more acceptable criteria for dealing with that. But all deserving teachers on rural allowance are being paid by the department. But in this case, it affected the teachers from Kunda, which was the main area. And then regulations for declaration of technical high schools. The recommendation was that there should be a steering committee established to drive the provision of technical high schools as well as provision of necessary resources at all levels so that it can grow. Especially in Bizana, the department has partnered up with O.R. Tambo Foundation, DBSA, as well as Road Accident Fund and ESCOM to look at the revitalization of O.R. Tambo Technical. Last Friday, we had a briefing session on what should we be doing towards centenary celebrations, but also looking at the revitalization of the technical high school in that region. Mr. Nkina here is our chair of the committee that is working together with OGP on that. Chair, that the finding on drug abuse and learner discipline, especially in Afrika. And again, you will notice that some of the findings repeat themselves across municipalities. Partnering of schools with the police to cap especially this behavior, high prevalence and elements of ill discipline, involve all role planners in your solution, which was a recommendation from the committee. Then on what we've done as a department is alignment of schools with police stations for unexpected visits and random searches by SHPS, also encouraging of the community to fight the crime. Alfredo is one of those areas where it's not necessarily as ripe as you will get in Western Virginia, which is Port Elizabeth. But in Alfredo, SAPS have started a partnership program between the department and police stations where they are pulling into a partnership. And applicable schools that were found out here is Bethel, Maluti, and Nyaniso. There was an issue on payment of expatriate educators. Those cases that were picked up, Chair, we followed up as a department, especially payment for work done by expatriates. And in some cases, there will be reports that their documentation was in question. In this case, we have paid and they've received their salaries, all of those cases that were picked up by the committee. And here I'm referring in particular to Mosa City, which was the specific school that was picked up by the committee. There was a finding on teaching methodology where the committee was recommending that we should be constantly examining if the teaching methods and strategies of our teachers are in line with CAPS in order to improve results, because you kept on getting the support, you know, that CAPS requires, these teacher standards are this. Just to say, sir, much as we're saying that continuous support by subject advisors, but it's part of the strategy I've spoken to, where we are establishing teacher support centers and an in-service training program for all of these teachers. But the case came out in Maluti, where there was the matter was lifted. And then the relationship between high schools and feeder primary schools was a finding, and where it was established that schools develop better when they have a better relationship between the feeding primary schools and the receiving high schools. We then went back and looked at how our schools are functioning, and we found that schools do conduct common planning, teaching strategies, and they do share good practices with their primary schools, but it's a matter that we're following up. We cannot say the matter is addressed completely. It's a matter that we are following up. Chair, identification of heritage sites. In this instance, the finding was that where there are heritage sites in communities, these should be identified, and particularly heritage sites that must be protected at all times. And here the department, in collaboration with Sports, Education, Arts and Culture, requested a list of schools 50 years old and above, which are to be considered. In this case, we were dealing with schools that are historical schools and schools that we might refer to as heritage schools by virtue of their age. And working with the departments of Arts, Culture and Recreation, we're working on all schools that are 50 years and older and putting them on this pedestal called heritage schools. Provision and payment of subsidies in special schools. The committee found that there should be a distinction between normal and special schools, especially the uniqueness of the needs of learners with disabilities, and the department was then requested to make full payment of subsidies. Chair, we are then paying all of our special schools based on the norms and standards that are governing special schools. So all of the schools are now covered in terms of their payment. So there will be no case of special schools paid below the national norm and standard in terms of their payment. Teacher supply and demand for ECD centers, especially the Maluti primary issue, but the recommendation was that appoint practitioners with salaries on par with other educators, which means professionalize them. Train practitioners to level 4, purchase standard outdoor play material, environment should be conducive to match play. Chair, in collaboration with social development, we have developed what we call a provincial ECD development strategy, wherein we define responsibilities between the two departments. Education is responsible for grades R 1 to 3. Social development is responsible for 0 to 4 or back to 4. So we are collaborating together on this program, especially looking after. On our side, all schools offering a grade R class have been attached to a primary school so that we can improve the resources of those schools. So we have moved with those grade R. But the bigger challenge is the age range 0 to 4. That's where the big challenge is. Some are in garages, others are in some houses, you know, there's a range. But social development is pulling together a mechanism to deal with that. As well as sound working relations and lasting solutions, you know, on the relations between the two departments. However, the committee picked up the matter of South-Western Relations at Bakabuso, and the recommendation was that there should be lasting solutions amongst officials that have been established, and the department has set up a task team to deal with these international relations. Last but not least, Chair, is the issue of utilization of infrastructure in rationalized schools, and this was a finding that came from UNTILA. And the recommendation was that the department should engage communities for the use of underutilized buildings for other projects. Chair, just to say, all buildings, especially government buildings, they belong to public works. So as a department, we do that in collaboration with public works. And as a department, we've never refused anybody from applying to use the building differently, because the approval will come from public works. As education, the only thing that we're required to confirm is that we will not be using the building for teaching and learning purposes. That's what is required of us. So in this case, we then had to agree that this is our framework. All applications are welcome, but as long as they all go through the Department of Public Works. Chair, that will be the long and short of it. Then the detail per school will be in the web version for both of these municipalities. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for the presentation. Let me allow the MEC then to add his view on the whole issue of these recommendations.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Very good morning, Honorable Members, officials of the Department, and officials of the NCOP, if I can put it like that. Let me take the opportunity to really appreciate the fact that the leadership of the NCOP, in pursuing its task, has made it clear to me that Makupula wise to understand the state of health you are in, but there are certain things that we can't afford not to do with her. And oversight is one critical thing. And as a politician who has also been an MPL, I understood that no ways I can must put aside everything, because this is where we are charged, and this is where the department can safely say, after being oversighted, indeed, what we are told here is objective, and this is where we are tested. So I felt there's no way I must come, whatever the state of health. Secondly, Chairperson, let me not waste much of your time, but honorable members, just to give just a brief overview. If I had the opportunity to speak first before the officials, I had prepared some notes on my side, but I'll talk to that now, given that and not to waste time, lift up one or two things. The first thing to highlight, Honorable Chairperson, is to say, although you might be knowing him, the gentleman sitting next to me is Mr. Themba Kojana. He is the Superintendent General of the Department, appointed on the 1st of December, 2016. So it's his first visit to the NCOP, or its first attendance of an NCOP activity. I thought, let me not take it for granted. You might have been interacting with him, but he's coming here for the first time, and it's an order to introduce me officially. So far, things are working so fine, given that I've been working with acting people. I think the last two before him have been acting people. And at least now things are starting to settle, and we're starting to do our work in administration. That's the first thing. Then with regard to the work, especially the fact that the NCOP visit focused on Buffalo City Metro and Alfred Nzo, looked on special schools and public ordinary schools. If you allow me to share one or two things on special schools. This work belongs to a chief directorate called Education Social Support Services in the department. We've been having an acting person there for more than 11 years. I am glad to announce to the NCOP that finally we've appointed a person permanently. And shall I say coincidentally, the person is a lady to address employment equity as well, Mrs. Mastorp, although she's not part of the delegation today. I can also safely say that the director underneath her, the one who specifically focuses on special schools, inclusive education, we've also appointed a person, again, we had been having a person acting there, though she's also a lady, Mama Msindwana, Mrs. Msindwana, she's not part of the delegation. And without being biased to JNMC, the ladies are doing their work. There's one thing you know, they talk less and they do work. And I could start I'm starting to see things. The reports that we're seeing, things are starting to get into shape. Not that I'm undermining those that were there before, but work is going on. The second thing, to on the inclusive education of special schools, honorable members, please take note, we are still grappling with the huge challenge of the legacy of the previous way of how things were done. In the Eastern Cape, though now we've increased the number of special schools, for a long time we've been having 43 special schools. How they've been spread in the province, 13, Port Elizabeth alone has 13, East London alone had 7, Mthatha would have 3, Alwal North 2. The first Eastern Cape did not have these schools because these were areas where, unfortunately, shall I say, without being racial, this is where your, shall I say, your European South Africans were, Port Elizabeth, East London. These are the large cities of the Eastern Cape. So we're faced with a challenge where the majority of the people of Eastern Cape do not have access to these facilities of special schools because they are concentrated in these large towns. But since getting into office, working with this ABLE team, we've been able to say, look, there's no waste. Let's have a bias to areas where there have been no special schools. And I'm glad to say areas now where there have been no special schools, we've started to build them. I'm sure the team might have seen if it visited a school in a place called Cedarville. It's a beautiful school we've built there, 91 million CV in the small town of Cedarville before you reach Matatiel. Costed us 91 million. They've started to accommodate children and we've just passed the problem of electricity with ESCOM. The school is functional now. Libode did not have even a single school yet. It's the second largest district in terms of schools and population. We've opened a school there as well. Kredok, but I cannot list all the schools. Yes, it's Kredok, Butterworth, Libode, Fort Beaufort, Mount Fletcher, and to an extent, East London again. Well, the demand that people are moving from the rural areas generally, it's a trend I think you notice as leaders. People are moving towards Cape Town, Joburg, even in the east, within the Eastern Cape, they're moving towards the urban areas. So there's large demand, growing large informal settlements. So we are unable to ignore that. So East London, whilst it did have schools, the demand is still there as well. So we also introduced one school there. And I'm saying at least the work that Mr. Jogart is speaking on, specifically responding to the findings of the visit. I want to assure you, honorable members, that the leadership of the department, including myself, we take the work of the NCOP very seriously. Once you visit, I always make sure that there's a full management meeting that says once the findings have come out, we dedicate a day in discussing the findings and start delegating which chief directorate and line function has responsibility and outline timelines in terms of getting reports. I also use the privilege that I'm the politician. I decide where I go. I also meet principals and SGPs After your visit, I met principals and SGBs of special schools, and the program of handing over buses, for instance, is an ongoing program, because we're handing over, I think, 10. We've not yet finished them all, according to what the budget allows us. Then the next financial year, we take another number, and according to the demand. So after your visit, 10 schools benefited. I think 10. Yeah, and we're handing over them in East London. Also, I've read their report. Maybe you might have seen that for yourself. The one in Tanzania, Vukuhambe, we've got a beautiful fence there that we put. This one where, shall I say, it's discouraging a criminal to come in. It's very expensive. Runs between 2 million. It's quite durable. Expensive, I must say. At times I share concerns with them that, hey, this fence is expensive. But when I look at the schools, I could sense that the security of our schools is very important, especially for children that are vulnerable. You take note the case of Vukuhambe, where there were cases of rape by people from the communities. You might have seen that fence, or it might have been put in as a result of your visit. So I'm saying it's not mentioned in the report that they are talking to. And I know they might not have mentioned everything. And I must also say that with the special schools, rather than expanding them, I've also said there are challenges at St. Thomas revolving around the principal. You might have picked up when you were at the visit. The guy is not serious about his work. And I've said, HOD, follow that gentleman. Not a person who likes to chase people. But the way things are happening, you don't have a sense of the capacity and the pace at which a team works also reflects on the captain. So I said, follow that one. I need a report. And the one at Umtata, I think it's a father, Umamum Sindwana, went there. She's just submitted a report. I hope, I want to expect to work with the HOD to act there. I don't want to preempt things, but my sense is that that principal at Vukuhambe, we might want to work on having an administrator while to investigate, because we think further investigation is needed there. Food is getting lost. Children are not taken care of, our children are not washed, these are deaf children. There's a very vocal lady there who is also part of the SGB. That's the one who has become so bold such that she's being victimized by the principal because of her honesty. And I said, no ways, we can't allow this situation to go on. So I've asked the HOD to have a team that must make a follow-up there, investigate, and if there are two or three things that indicate that things do not go right, we must put that man on suspension or on leave and replace an administrator whilst we do a thorough investigation. But we'll update you, members, honorable members, once that we've done. Then on the public schools, just to step off from other areas, you would recall that I think it's Honorable President Thabo Mbeki, 2008, when he announced the initiative of the laptop initiative. The difficult circumstances, well, when the President has spoken, that's law. You have to find ways where there's no budget. I am glad to say this last financial year and this financial year, at least we said, even if we've been failing the country and the province, at least now let's start doing something. So we've started to train. This is where Mr. Jwakate not emphasized the point. We're not just handing over laptops to foundation phase educators. We've trained them, 16,000 of them. We've trained them so that they are able to utilize these laptops. And we're monitoring strictly that. Are they using them on delivering curricula and doing schoolwork? Next financial year, the HOD has shared with me that he started to make a recommendation that we must go to the next phase, the intercent, which is your intermediate and senior phase, that we must also accommodate them in capacitating them. I mean, it's quite clear that the ICT is a big enabler, although it can never substitute the teacher. You might have all the computers, but you still need the teacher, but you must capacitate the teacher to move with times so that these machines do not gather dust somewhere in a cupboard. They are being utilized. The experience we gathered, Honorable Chairperson, working with a department headed by Honorable Pando, Science and Technology, where we partnered with that department 3 years back and took a pilot of Mbaba around utilizing technology in rural education. She would come with all the parastatals and bodies that work under the department, CSIR and others, and we've taken a circuit, one circuit in Kofimbaba, and we've given children iPads, tablets, and modified for Onomushwana because they are covered in plastic. I can share with you, Honorable Chairperson, that over a period of 3 years, for 3,600 plus learners, only 5 have been lost in a period of 5 years, in a period of 3 years. And this has improved our science in the schools at Kofumba. So Honorable Pando, in appreciating the good work that we're doing with DBE and her department and the Eastern Cape Department of Education, she then said, I have budgeted for the Eastern Cape to build a science and technology center, and it's built in Kofumbaba. And I'll fund it for the next 3 years, and the Eastern Cape take over after 3 years. We've started construction there, SG, although it has not yet started working. But work has started, and we're saying it doesn't belong to Kofumbaba, it's for the Eastern Cape, but because Kofumbaba has shown good results, we're ready as a department to take over and run that work. Honorable Chairperson, before I do left, right, let me take probably the last point in saying we have, to an extent, honorable members, as you visit the Eastern Cape, you might take note the last time the Eastern Cape education had disruptions of schools, school boycott, was in 2012, by teacher organizations, in particular led by SADU, problems that we used to have. I can tell you, it's not because problems are not there. Problems are there, but how we deal with them, open to policy, we sit down with unions, discuss their concerns, appreciate where they have a point, and that has led to a sense of stability in the department. As I say to you, the last time we had a major strike in the Eastern Cape was in 2012. And secondly, I can highlight to you some things, although the political oversight structures are still reviewing them, when we took major steps to say, what is our core business? Our core business is teaching and learning, providing quality education. Yes, school nutrition is very important to make sure that children go to school. Scholar transport is very important to make sure that children are in time to get to school. But it's not our core business. Ours is to provide a building, a teacher, and a book to make sure that children are taught. So at some stage, we took a decision to say, let's involve parents in the feeding of their children. That decision since March 2011, I can assure you since then we have a peace of mind. No food is coming to an end. Remember, Section 100 came into the department in March 2011 because amongst other things, money for school nutrition got finished before the end of the year, scholar transport before the end of the year, teachers not being paid, LTSM not being paid. So we had to take serious measures to say, hey, school nutrition, let's work with schools directly and request parents. Because you have the department prescribes on Monday children must eat this, so it's easy and the child is allocated a particular amount. So work with the SGPs and the parents to feed their children. Since March 2011, children are eating up to the end of the year. The new challenge now is that by the time you close schools, there's still food and it's stolen. That's the new challenge now that we're facing. July 2011, we took a decision to say, yes, scholar transport is for our learners, but we don't keep traffic officers. We don't issue licenses for roadworthy cars. We're not doing roads. Those belong to another department. So we persuaded cabinet, cabinet, please, take the resources for scholar transport to another department called transport. From July 2011, yes, there are still problems. Resources were not able to transport every child. But what I'm coming to, Chairperson, is that since taking those drastic measures, we started to have time to focus on our core business. Because we're busy, occupied with many important things. Yes, important school nutrition, scholar transport, but we didn't have time to teach children. So how do we create space for us to do our work? So I'm saying, Chairperson, that's the point I'm trying to say. The stability and the fact that now we've started to focus on our core business gives hope that at least the work we are doing at some stage is going to show up a good performance, we hope. Yes, in terms of metric results, we're still the last province in terms of performance. But look at the quality of the results we produced. We might be number last, but look at the bachelors we give the country, the diploma we give the country. At times, the language of percentage is fine. When you say one province has given 90%, of what? Because in the Eastern Cape, the last year, metric, we had a total enrollment of children who wrote metric, 115, including part-time students. There were 92,000 full-time. Other provinces have got 28,000 children overall writing metric. This year, I know that close to more than 94,000 children have registered for metric. That's full-time. Other provinces might be having 50,000 or even less than that. Again, this is not to say we must be treated, differently. No, we're number last, and we must be hammered for failing. But please take note, the context might not be the same. Schools in the Western Cape, the province of Western Cape, Penny Winterwald, the former HOD of Western Cape. We've scouted her, Chairperson. She's in the department now. She's a DDG in the department. She was saying to me, Western Cape has got 1,400 schools. Eastern Cape, 5,537 schools. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
No, thank you very much, MEC, for your remarks. There is giving us a picture of what is happening in the province over and above the report that you have received. I left you to talk because it's the first time that you engage us at this level. And I think it was important for you to say what you wanted to say to the committee. We welcome the presentation as the select committee, except that maybe you could have included some detail in terms of numbers and dates in certain specific sections of the report. Nonetheless, let me leave it to the honourable members to engage the report. I see Honourable Dlamini's hand, Honourable Mamburu, Honourable Samka, Honourable Ngwenya, Honourable Kaul.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. My greetings to the MEC and welcome the remarks and also the presentation made. Just want to start on the last point that the MEC was talking to on the how many percent of what. The delegates from the Eastern Cape, always when we introduce ourselves, she always said, I'm from the Eastern Cape, the province of the legends. It cannot be number last. It doesn't matter what reason you put. Just based on that, which we agree, we never contested that because we know our history. It cannot be number last. We appreciate the fact that you are progressing up, you're not going down. We appreciate that, but we still feel that you can do better than that. We've been to the province even prior to the taking parliament to the people as a select committee. One comment I will make there is that MEC, when we come to the province as politicians, we do want to, even in one meeting, one session, to have such an input at the level of politicians. It assists us as politicians, other than being sent junior officials. I know we had Mr. Chokadi at the time, I think he was still seconded by National. Yes. Meaning that in terms of senior officials from the province, we did not have one, except that Mr. Chokadi from the National, who was very much of assistance to us, was there. We feel undermined as a committee because we leave everything else, come to your province, but still there is no senior leadership that is available at our disposal. I'm just thanking that chair for future visits. I'm surprised that in the report the issue of rationalization does not come because it was the main issue of rationalization. The issue about rationalization, they were combining it with scholar transport, that schools are closed, but transport is not provided. I was in Alfred Nzo. And it was very emotional, because at the community meeting, parents were saying, some of the schools that are being closed by the department, we built those schools ourselves, were built by the parents. But we're not consulted, the department just come and close the school. It doesn't come here. We had recommended that a process of consultation, even if it was done, it means that it was not done properly. It has to be redone so that as much as we know the policy of government, also agree that we would want them to get full services instead of having two teachers because of the size of a school, that we understand, but consultation has to be strengthened. The relationships, I hear what the presentation is saying. Let me just outline the findings that we got there. There was a problem of relations between, from the province, the district, the circuits, as well as the school, at school level. When those people were talking, they were talking like, no, it's not us, the district, it's the province. It doesn't have to be like that. It has to be like, no, we are trying, or we do have problems, but the province is still doing this, so that they speak as one department. So the feeling from our side, there was no relationship. It's not only education, social development was the same thing. They were talking as if it is another department or somebody else from somewhere. The conclusion was that our relations has to be sourced. But also at school level, two schools, one was a primary school, the other one I think is a secondary or high school. Very interesting thing that was happening there. We started at high school. There were very few learners there, very few learners. And the relationship between the principal and the educators was bad, very bad. The feeling was that the principal was imposed to the school. So there was no, as a result, I think the teaching was not right, so parents moved their children from the school to other schools. We went to, they were divided by fence. to the primary school. The problem there was overcrowding. Overcrowding. That is where the relationship between the feeder and the secondary school comes in. The primary school was overcrowded. They needed more classes. What does it mean? Teaching and learning is good in that school. So with the first school, it was not shortage of learners. It was how the school was run. So I think also the relations has to be looked at. The another school, it was the primary school where the teacher, the principal was also imposed. I can't remember the names of the schools as I see them now. But in our report, it will appear there. So our take was that this thing of, we know that there is always a preference by, it's either by educators or the parents, but it depends on the qualification. But it has to be done in such a way that it doesn't affect teaching at school level. The scholar transport, that problem is very serious, MEC. Eastern Cape was, we were told that some learners walk 20 kilometers. Just imagine, firstly, that person is from a, it tells you, from a poor family. Maybe they did not have food before they leave. Have to walk 20 kilometers to and back. I feel the pace is not equal to the seriousness of the problem. I hear that you have submitted the schools that need scholar transport, that are covered, but we are saying at least let's fast track the pace of on the scholar transport. I do have driver's license in the public. I can be your driver there. Shortage of drivers, buses are there. Shortage of drivers. I can drive for our children. I can take that duty, Jefferson. But on a serious note, that's poor planning. Where I'm sitting, how do you go through the whole process of procuring buses? At the end, we don't have drivers. It was supposed to happen. Sometimes in companies, you'll appoint drivers even before the transport arrives. But in your case, procured buses, but Indoma drivers, it can't be a reason. And there are so many drivers out there. On the issue of learner support material, Chair, it was not only availability on time, it was the quality. Quality was very bad. But then on the availability, you find that in some schools it was there but stored in the storerooms. Children did not have. Having it, Mr. Sokadi, at school level, you would have done your work. But for us, we said you have delivered when a child is having a textbook. To have them in a storeroom and children don't have is a problem. There are various reasons we got. Some were saying they did not return what and whatever. But so this report to us is misleading because children don't have it. I don't know. We must find a way of dealing with that to check whether children have received it or not. I will leave the others, Chair. I will just take one. On school furniture, we appreciate the process. Tender to collect and store has been advertised. But what I don't understand that you have already procured 5 regional warehouses. Maybe I was never a teacher before. Maybe warehouse means something else, other than a storage facility. If that is the case, why procure warehouse, yet the tender is for collection and storage? Collect and store, that is what is written in the report. I don't know what I'm going to do with the warehouse, yet the company which is going to be appointed will also have to store. So that's the question I have. The last one is on the IDs and birth certificate. It's also a very serious problem. Chairperson is right. I would have expected the numbers because, especially on the schools where we went, how many have received. It's a bigger problem because it was not only those schools. We were told that people around the area They don't have, even the elders, they don't have IDs. They don't want to take IDs. As a result, children don't have, would want to have among numbers. And last, finally, the ECDs. I know we visited more than one, but maybe they were below age 5. But even then, our issue was that the curricula of those below 5, you can't say you leave it to social development. Social development does not do any, I mean, it's not their competency to come up with a curriculum. They were saying in those schools that we are waiting for education to give us, all of them, they don't have a curriculum. So the question is that when you receive those children at grade R, they come with whatever creativity from that particular ECD before 5 years. We are saying look into that and sort of provide the curriculum from those earlier ages. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me welcome the presentation. Chairperson, I don't have much to say on the issue of numbers. You have covered me, but let me congratulate the Department of Education in the Eastern Cape for the progress that they've made since we visited their province. One, on the issue of appointing the relevant personnel, MEC were happy about that because it means there is something that you are doing in the meantime. The issue of special schools, yes, we are seeing progress in that regard. Also, I want to congratulate you on that matter. Nonetheless, Chairperson, Honorable Dlamini has spoken about the issue of rationalization. I remember when we were there, we raised this matter of not consulting members of the community, since an outcry was that some of the schools were built by them. But I don't see one of the recommendations coming out, because we said, because of the critical landscaping of the Eastern Cape, maybe we should consider school hostels, because of these long distances, these the young ones are traveling, is a concern to us. I don't know, maybe in the future we'll have to get that the response on what measures are you taking in that regard. Nonetheless, Chairperson, I've seen a lot of improvement. Thank you very much. Keep it up. Maybe next time when we meet, we'll get progress. More so because MEC, you remember the time we came as a committee. We were very much happy because when you were invited in the SOP, you were able to give us a proper support like you're doing it today. Thank you very much.
Enkosi Sihlalo, mandijoyine ogqabam ekwamkeleni i-presentation from iphondo lam. Sihlalo, bendingavuya umphathiswa xa benokhe anyathele ingakumbi kule nto yokudityaniswa kwee-district se-Alfred Nzo. Bakwesiphi stage ngoku, ingaba segqitywe nala process? Because yenye yezinto endicinga into yoba yireyiswe kwenye yee-meetings emaloti by the community. Stakeholders. Also, Chair, kule nto ye monitoring kuhambe kwinto yemali. Andiva apha kule report into ethetha ngokutrainwa kwe-SGBs, because amaxesha amaninzi ayireyize kwakhona into ethi i-SGBs ngabantu bokusayina, abakho involved kakhulu kwinto yemali. But iyavela ke vuku uhambe into kokuba no ikhona monitoring eyenziwa mo especially kwicala le budget, kodwa akho nto ethi bayatrayinwa. Kwakhona Sihlalo, ndifuna ukukhe ndiyithethe le nto ethi ndisibe Eastern Cape mosm ndihlala khona. I'm also part ye Alfred Nzo apho ndideployo khona kwi-constituents. And ezinye zezinto ezithethwa apha kule progress report zizinto ezenzekayo Sihlalo. Into endiyithanda ngayo i-Eastern Cape Sihlalo yile yokokuba abangobelungu. Xa ndisithi ke aningo asingobelungu. ukuba i-Eastern Cape ithetha njengoba injalo into because ekugqibeleni sifuna ukuncediswa. Ndicinga into yoba sinzile umphathiswa naye xa ibeka imeko yase-Eastern Cape eyona njongo kukuba sincediswe ngaphezu kokuba kusolo kubekwa i-broadband ebomvu umntu oba senzi kakuhle but eyona nto sikhule sifuna into yoba siyenzeke kukuba sincediswe kwezi mpazamo nakwezi zinto sicinga into okokuba siyasilela kuzo. Uyakuphawula ke into yoba nakule ripoti zikhona izinto ezenziwe nangona bengekenzi kakuhle izawusincedisa kwakhona ke sihlala into okokuba xa kuphindwa ngoNovemba by the National Council of Provinces iyojonga ezi zinto kulapho ke ngoku sizawufumana into okokuba kwezinye zezi ripoti ezi zinto zenzekile na. Ndicinga uba sihlalo makhe ndime apho. Inkosi.
Thank you, Chair. I would also like to welcome the report and firstly congratulate and commend the Department of Education in the Eastern Cape with the good work they've done, especially with the special schools. It is very much appreciated. I'm just looking forward to a follow-up visit to just see what they have done. Firstly, I would like to find out, I haven't seen anything much on pregnancies at school, you know, the teenage pregnancy, because it is of so much concern. What has happened with that, the stats, if possible, what is the department doing in terms of education to make sure that the rate goes down? And the issue of drug abuse and learner discipline, I welcome and appreciate the fact that there's partnership with SEPs and there's these random checks at schools unexpectedly. I just need to find out what is the plan when they go for these searches and they find kids with drugs, in possession of drugs. What happens to those kids? Because I would assume that they are underage and that would mean they're either selling or using drugs. And how do you make sure that those children are rehabilitated? They are helped in the process because some of them are selling because they do not want to. So you need some sort of an intervention plan to find out the core reason behind having those drugs in those schools. So it is good enough that you do the random checks, but then what happens afterwards? Because if they are selling, especially 2 days later, they will have those drugs again at school and then start selling as well. So that doesn't really cure the problem. So I would really want to find out if there's a plan in regards to that. Are there any other stakeholders that can be involved in helping to cap this program, drug abuse? And Givumelana, now we're still on the issue of dates and stats, because I would like to find out with the posts that were advertised, what is the time frame, when should we expect these posts to be filled, and yes, if we can have that. And lastly, Slalo, I'd like to find out the book retrieval policy. What does it entail exactly? How do you plan enforcing that? Because when we were growing up, when you lose a book, you have to buy it. So is it, yes, or you do not get your report, yes. So I just want to know how are you going to handle this, because then I think it was very easy. You go to Ujelum Zalak and they go to Jutas and they buy the book. But now the situation is very different in Makayen. So what does the retrieval policy entail? Another thing, is it possible to build a relationship with your, say, for SEPs, for instance, because SEPs at schools with the students, they are viewed as enemies. They are viewed as people who are there to reprimand and you know. Is it possible to build a relations between SEPs and students and parents and kind of have those interactive meetings, if I might say, to ensure that they are not viewed as so that even other students who do not use drugs, who are not involved, are able to trust them. Even that one who has drugs, to be able to trust them, to say, to open up to them, to say, this is the reason I'm carrying drugs, because so-and-so is using me to sell and all of that. So if we can also look at that as well, to build that relation and involve parents in helping with curbing those issues at schools. Ngiyabonga
sihlalo. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable MEC and your team. Thank you very much, even for your courage, you know. We appreciate that. Some of us, when we in ill health, we just decide to stay away from work. I want to start with the health and safety report there in that slide, Chairperson, to say the department is, the province is reporting that they have signed an MOU with relevant departments, health and social development, and also that they now have formed district-based support teams of these departments. Now, this is very interesting, Chairperson, especially the Chairperson of Social Services. The Department of Health came to us about 2 or 3 years ago, and amongst the reports, they were saying that they've got schools health teams that visit schools. They've got ward-based teams. And I challenged the HOD to the HOD separate theory from what really happens on the ground. We come from these rural communities. We know what happens. What you are talking about is not happening in the rural areas. And they were adamant that these things are happening. Now, here is the department is coming to report to us that they have just signed an MOU for this to happen, because it has not been happening. You see? Very, very interesting. And they were adamant, and I was saying, but practically we come from these areas. We know it's not happening. You just report to us things that are not there. It doesn't have anything to do with you, MEC. It has got to do with health, but it's a coincidence that you are saying you had to go to the extent of the MOU for this to happen. But health was saying to us, these things are happening. My next one, Chairperson, is where are my things? Hey, No, I'm coming. My next one is my Chairperson, we're glad you're listening to it. It's on this slide where they are talking about ECD. I just want to find out, Honorable MEC, what is the position in your province in respect of the great art teachers? Because what you are reporting to us is ECD that pertains to social development. We know about that one. There's been a long-standing fracas between education in the country and great art teachers with the unions. We just want to know, in your province, are you taking care of the great art teachers? What are you paying them? Don't run away. Don't go to social development. We know the story. That is another story. We just want to know your own, what is happening. And you also spoke about, you were lamenting the fact that you have got so many learners. No. KwaZulu-Natal beats all of you. We have got the most. And you know, when the MEC in KZN was also raising this in our legislature, you know, I also, my challenge to the department was to say, no, let's talk numbers. When you have passed 62% learners out of your 91,000 that registered, for me, what is interesting is it means there is something like 30,000 learners that have failed. That is the fact of the matter. So let's not talk percentages. Let's talk about the disaster that is approaching the country to say, when you have passed 62% in figures, my figures are saying you have got MEC last year, 30,000 young people that have gone out of secondary education with no matric certificate. So we just cannot exonerate you. We just cannot. We don't want you to be number last. I don't know who is going to be number last if you are not. But we don't want you to be number last. But what is important is we don't want learners to fail. We want them to pass. And my last one, Chairperson, is is on the last page, I think. Yeah. I think we're going to have a chat present. Let me go back on the phone. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, honorable members, for the questions and the engagements and the comments. Maybe let me start with the comments. It has been a worry to all of us in this committee that when all provinces are listed in terms of performance, Eastern Cape becomes last. And I remember that it has particularly affected your representative, Umam Sang. In all categories, even if it's an analysis of the 18, in terms of performance of provinces, Eastern Cape is the worst. You know, but with the kind of attitude that I'm reading, MEC, and the kind of interventions that you are proposing, I'm more than positive that you're going to do pretty well. It is words of encouragement, because I believe that you must not always emit negative energy. We must always emit positive energy so that positive things happen. And encourage you and your team as to say that there is nothing impossible. In spite of limited financial resources, with proper planning and a collaborative effort, a concerted effort, you can reach greater heights than Gauteng or any other, or even this Cape Town, Lokujani. You can reach greater heights. It all depends on attitude. And the attitude that I'm reading in you as MEC and your head of department, it tells me that tomorrow we're going to get better news for the Eastern Cape. Mm-hmm. And that is what we are looking forward to. But I don't know, when you reach a stage where all provinces perform at 100%, I don't know how we're going to list them. Or we shall have to write them like this. But we're looking forward to that stage. I'm happy that you are raising an issue on that we have concentrated on the performance, the training of teachers for them to be able to dispense curriculum. That is your core business, to dispense curriculum correctly and train teachers to do the or teacher centers, your prefabs, and so on. But I just hope that your training sessions are not infringing on contact time. That is what I wanted to establish, that we want teachers to be trained, but that contact time must not be compromised. The issue of, members have raised the issue of teenage pregnancies and drug abuse. Interdepartmental collaboration in dealing with issues. USAPS, do they conduct unannounced spot checks in schools? And what is the involvement of parents with those learners that are found to be involved in drug abuse? The issue of the retrieval policy for textbooks, I don't know whether it is uniform or each school is doing whatever they think is best for them, because I think if it is uniform, it would assist us a great deal to be able to retrieve the textbooks. Now, the issue of wrong delivery, this is a puzzle to me. The principal will fill in a requisition form to say that these are the textbooks, this is the number of textbooks required by the school. And then wrong textbooks are delivered. And the department has to issue out a tender to go and collect the books and take them back to the warehouse. This is an unnecessary expense. Why don't you deliver the correct amount and the kind of textbooks first time around than having to go now and find a tender? No, there has to be a tender. Go and fetch the textbook from the school, deliver them there, or take them back to the warehouse. That is uncalled for. That is an unnecessary expense. I don't know whether these wrong deliveries are deliberate or they are genuine error, but they've always puzzled me. If I order a size book of a particular type by a particular author, I need to get that. Why do I get other textbooks written in Afrikaans that I did not order? We need to look into that because that is an unnecessary expense. I'm happy about the Science and Math Center by the Department of Science and Technology at Kofiwab. But it is a provincial asset, even though it is at Kofiwab. How is it going to be reachable by other students from all the corners of Eastern Cape, those that have got an aptitude in math and science? Don't you consider building a hostel so that you accommodate them, they've got access to that very important facility? I will not be able to exhaust everything. Water and sanitation. This was another critical area as we visited. Scarcity of water, bad sanitation, or absence of sanitation. Intergovernmental relations, the involvement of municipalities in assisting in this problem. To what extent do you have meetings of IGR and actually express your concerns about this issue, particularly of water? And what prevents you from building ablution facilities appropriate for schools, even if it's pit latrines, but at least the ones that are properly built? The kitchens where food is cooked for the learners. In some of the schools, there were situations that were very hazardous, where the storage of food was inappropriate and contamination would have been easy because there are no proper kitchens for the school nutrition. I know MEC said it's not your copy, but it falls within our ambit nonetheless. And if children fall sick because food was contaminated with poison, it was in a storeroom where there are chemicals, then you are in trouble. So those are the issues that we need to look into. Rationalization, it was raised by members. I don't want to go into that one, but that one would have to attend to and make consultations and the training of school governing bodies to know what they're doing. Also, it's another issue that members have already raised. Those are the few issues that I wanted to raise, because others have already been raised. Yeah, the special schools, usually, not only in your province, MEC, in all provinces, special schools become a soft target for abuse. Those children, some of them are mental retarded in some of the schools. And they won't be able to tell a story as to the extent to which they are abused. The absence of professionals, health professionals, to assist them is another issue that is worrying. You'll find that there is no physiotherapist, psychologist that are visiting them from time to time with a view to assisting them to make life easy, like any other person. The training of teachers that are handling them also is an issue that we need to look at quite seriously, because they're just human beings as any other child in any ordinary public schools, but I've been worried about the abuse. Thank you. Who can then respond on the issues raised. Over to you, MBC.
Thank you very much, Honorable.
Mm-hmm.
the officials are going to come. Firstly, Chairperson, let me appreciate the words of encouragement. Once again, honorable members, I always say when I sit with these managers, look, politicians are our oversighters. They don't hate us. They are not our enemies. They are trying to tell us where we must improve because we are all common about serving our people. So when we go to oversight, take a positive attitude because this is where you're going to be encouraged and be strengthened. Yes, they might sound as at times rough because of being irritated by some of the things that we've done on the ground, how we've undermined our people. But the message is one, pull up your socks. So I'm always saying, last but not least, the budget that we're working with is coming from you. One day you might decide to say, all right, you undermine us. I'm not going to vote for you to get the budget. So I really, spirit of appreciating the positive attitude, honorable members, and the words of encouragement. And I hope officials are taking that with the seriousness it deserves. Secondly, honorable members, I accept once again the constructive critique. Indeed, Eastern Cape is not meant to be number last. Maybe I was trying to explain something that you know. And let me back off. Let me say that. There's no. I was not questioning or challenging. No. You see, Chairperson, when you are very close to a matter, you can speak in detail than a person who is not that much closer as you are. But you don't need that because we give you reports. That. And the big thing is that since 1994, the Eastern Cape has always been number last with results. In fact, there was only 1 year, if I recall, where the Eastern Cape once was not number last, since 1994. So it's a concern. Even to myself, it's depressing. So I'm just trying to say, honored members, please accept my stance that I will keep quiet and do my work. And just a request for support when I need your support. One of the areas, for instance, I always say to Honorable Sam Gakabekona provinces, please help me as I issue information to schools. I also share with constituency offices so that constituency offices play a big role in influencing communities. Our people go to these offices when they have got problems, and constituency offices are offices that help them with the challenges they have. So even us as education, they are points of reference for helping us, sharing latest information and interacting with members when they are in a recess or in a constituency period. So I accept members and I commit to say for as long as I'm still the MEC, I'll be working out flat out to improve the situation. Now I wish I could turn around the situation if things were under my control. Yeah. But the positive attitude, Chairperson, you are right. Bit by bit, we'll get there. Then coming to specific issues, the NCOP visits, the Honourable Member who spoke first. Honourable Member, I accept the constructive critique. For instance, in the case where we send Mr. Juagadi, there was a clash with the legislature. At times, I hope Mshambi, Honorable Samga might bear testimony to some of these things. The programming committee is situated in the legislature. They invite cabinet, exco gets represented by an MEC of government business leader. And departments, also parliamentary liaison officers, get into that meeting. A plan is done. But at times, some of the things keep changing, and you needed at times to go to the legislature whilst the NCOP has visited or national parliament has visited, and we are one politician at that stage, and not to say it's undermining others. There are such, but they are not frequent. Such cases. So I'm just trying to say, please accept my apology for any wrong thing that we might have done. It's not through malice that would have undermined. I always try to make my level best if I'm not going to be a senior official. Mr. Chwagati is a DDG. He's one of the second in charge after the HOD. So if I'm not there, the next person is the HOD. If he's also occupied, then he must look at least we've got three DDGs. So at least a person at that senior level, because below DDGs would be chief directors. That's when it would seem that our hands are full, and we'll send an official apology. But I'll always try to make sure that whatever information that goes there. Yes, yeah, in fact, he reminds me, besides my being, think there's a cabinet committee today taking place. And my feeling was that, let me come to the NCOP, because it does not come frequent. The NCOP does not come frequently, yet the cabinet committees, at least once in a fortnight, are there. Rationalization, they're going to speak on the detail, but I want to, you will understand this point, honorable members. It has to do with communities. Earlier on, I indicated to you that in the Eastern Cape, we've got 5,537 schools. And of these schools, more than 2,000 of them, they are going to share instructors. Please look at the numbers so that when you come, you must speak on this. I think about 1,902 of these schools are schools that have got teachers that are less than five teachers. Last time I was checking, schools with 19 kids, there are 45 of them, with 19 kids. There's a school with 12 learners. Now the policy says I must allocate one educator. But as I release this educator, I know that this is disaster. This teacher is not going to be able to teach all the subjects there. Now, I'm caught up in that situation. The policy dictates to me that for such a number of learners, they deserve this number of teachers. But I must quickly follow to interact with the community to say, but the rights of children will be violated by what we are doing. Although this, I'm tied by police, I can't go over this. So what is it that we can do, communities working together, to protect the right of a child? Well, the issue is not about closing the school. The issue is about protecting the right of a child to get education. Yeah. Now, communities are going to come up with their rights correctly. Makupula, look here. This school is named after the great father of the chief. This school is named after an old activist who struggled for education. You can't just close this school. But the school has got 12 learners. And currently the policy is saying I must give them one educator. So, and of course the law is persuasive. And I must say, honorable members, without being discriminatory, policies of the ruling party are persuasive. They say I must go and sit down with them. Don't close without getting their consent. Now, at times, officials, I must admit that we're not homogeneous. Some of them, these officials, they will also carry their interests. You send them to say, get there. I've talked politically with the communities. Communities have said, look at scholar transport, Makubul. Look at providing hostel. We're looking at the neighboring schools. At least we think we can afford. Then the officials come and say, a recent case I picked up, for instance, around Matatie. Communities are saying to me, some of your officials, Makula, and I said, no, charge these people. Because there's a new union that is established. These officials now have moved away from another union to another union. They come to the communities and say, if you want a school not to be closed, then do ABC. Which is outside what they have been asked to do. So, honorable members, to be honest with you, there are such things at times. The chain is long. You must deal with the HOD, you must deal with the DDGs, you must deal with the chief directors until you reach that particular circuit inspector. It takes time. Things are getting wrong down there in the field. You have to follow. And people have got rights. You don't simply pounce on this one. So I'm saying without being too much long and boring, I acknowledge that some of these problems are still there, but we're trying our level best to work on them. So with rationalization, at least I can share with you, some of these schools close for themselves. If you've been to Port Elizabeth, there was a school that we built, costed us something like more than 30 million, called Kaibeha, the double story. By 2012, there were 10 kids, and 200 meters away from that school, there was another one, still with a number of kids, quite sizable. So I have a meeting with the SGB to call parents meeting. They call parents of these 10 kids. I persuade them in Charona, look, why don't we take these kids to this school, which is about 200 meters from you? No, this is our school. Then I gave him that, please, let's work on trying to mobilize children to grow the north. Because this is a beautiful resource, double story. By April, the delegation of parents came to me. I'm a Kuvula, closed the school. By that time, the school has been vandalized like anything. We caught people carrying hammer and chisel, taking out tiles from the school. You see. So I'm saying there's an element of persuading communities who might not agree immediately as you speak with them until you convince them and persuade them. There's bureaucracy. Remember when the school children have literally run out and there's no child in the school, the next thing before I put a lock there, I must go to the last SGP, call a meeting of the community. Do you want me to close this school? What do you want to use it for if it's no longer a school? No, I want it to be a place for projects. We want it to be a place for adult education. These are communities. You take time to mobilize them. Whilst you're busy going to those meetings, it is vandalized every night. Then after that, you write to Public Works to say, Public Works, I'm no longer utilizing this school. Therefore, you can take over the building. Now, Public Works is going to tell you, I don't have money to appoint securities to take care of a building that is not utilized. So this thing is vulnerable to be vandalized. But there are interesting developments, honorable members, which are encouraging. I must not depress you. Health, for instance, and social development have started to come forward to say, give us the list, Makupula, of schools that have already closed. I'm saying there's a category of schools where parents just take their children and the school is left empty. So I just have to do the paperwork process and gazette and hand over to Public Works. For those who are familiar with Ngcobo, there's an area called All Saints. There's a hospital there. Health was renovating the hospital, and All Saints Junior Secondary, there were literally children, none, who had closed the school. I was still following the processes of consultation. Health approached me to say, Makubula, meantime we renovate. Our nurses got us, we're working on them. Can we occupy the school? I said, oh, with pleasure. So they did some partitions, broken walls, so that in the meantime, temporarily, they accommodated their nurses there in the schoolyard, which they renovated whilst they are doing this. Social development is coming forward as well to ask a list to say, we're opening creches and other facilities. Give us the list of schools that are not utilized. By March this year, I had gazetted 536 honorable members, schools that are empty. Not because we've closed them. No, parents have taken children to other schools or have they left with them. 186, we've carried out public hearings, and the communities are saying in principle, yes, Makupula, we agree, but provide scholar transport, build hostels. Now, resources, I'm not ready by that now. So that school stays with 12 kids, whilst I'm still talking to transport to say, please, in your next budget, can you accommodate children from that school? So I'm saying rationalization then has got those elements, and it impacts on infrastructure, and it impacts on the role of communities. It also impacts on the intergovernmental issues. But they will speak on the other detail. Then we must admit, honorable members, I know that officials at time will always have something to say, will always give you reasons why a matter does not happen. Chairperson,
on the retrieval police. I were weak. It's only now, when did we issue the guidelines? Was it this year or last year?
This year in May.
Can you imagine? Honourable member, things were much easier during my time and your time. The school would keep the report. Now, the law says, don't touch the rights of the child. And if the child has not paid, you can't keep the report. You can't punish the child. Talk with the parent. So you're more persuading. They are not bringing back the books. So that, and then now, every year, next beginning of the year, you pay a visit, you find no books, and there are no books in this school. Our oversight is saying there's no books here. I scratch my head because I know that the principal did not retrieve. The school did not retrieve. So my request to you, honorable members, is to say, when the principal of the school says there are no textbooks, please ask them, how many did you retrieve last year? Because it's the school that has got a responsibility to retrieve books. But as a department, we must monitor and assist them in doing that. Otherwise, it's a problem that almost every year we have to buy LTSM. Every year we have to buy LTSM because children, once they pass, they go with the books. The schools don't do it well. So I want to admit in front of you to say we are weak at that level. It's only this year when we issued guidelines. But even those guidelines are not going to collect books if us as departments and the schools are not up to scratch in making sure that we follow those. So we must not beat about the bush, waste your time. We must tell you straight away, I was weak in that area. And once again, request you through your constituency offices, let's encourage our communities, the parents, to say, if the child once finished matric, please bring back the books, because your younger brother or sister is still going to need this book. So the same with furniture. Parents tell me, our children are sitting on bricks, and you just go to the next ship in next to the school, you find furniture there. Funerals, marriages, they sit on the furniture. So it's a vicious cycle that we need to work together in trying to. Then let me go to Honorable Samga. You had a specific question on me on the new districts and allow officials to come in. Yes, it has not been easy, honorable members. Eastern Cape, a province that had 23 districts. You know that in the 9 provinces, all of them, there are 81 districts for the 9 provinces. Eastern Cape alone takes 23. The other 8 districts share 59. KZN, the largest province, together with Gauteng in terms of numbers, KZN has got 12 districts. 2 million learners, 6,000 schools more than us, but they've got 12 districts. We've been sitting with 23 districts all these years. And when you start to engage communities, no, we need to move. No, we're going to disturb how we will, starting from officials of the department, who are used to working conveniently to communities. You say, hey, you're taking offices far away from us now if you reduce the trip. But honorable members, to you, Chairperson, finally, starting from last year, I got into a vigorous drive, consulted communities, and I can share with you today, officially, we've got 12 districts. Yeah, 12 districts. And there were challenges. Some of them were still challenged. I know in particular the area, Honorable Samga, Alfred Nzo West, because you take a district like O.R. Tambo, the municipal area, has got alone 1,200 schools as a district, 1,200 schools. You have a province like Northern Cape, I'm sorry for members that come from that area, Northern Cape has got 542 schools overall as a province. District O.R. Tambo, 1,200. Yet you have another district, Sarah Batman, that has got less than 500. Now you imagine the district director of OR Town is having a load, 1,200 schools, whilst the other one has got less than 500 schools, yet they get the same packages. That's why then we said at least 4 of these districts that are like OR Town are large, split them into 2. So So I've got O.R. Tambo Inland and O.R. Tambo Costa. At least we have 600. Then Alfred Nzo, Alfred Nzo East and Alfred Nzo West. Amatole West and Amatole East. The last one is Krisani, we have Krisani East and Krisani West, which is your Kofimvaba and Ngobo forms East. Then Alfred Nzo West will be your Matatiel, Maluti, Mount Alif and Mount Frey. Bizana, interestingly, as a magisterial district, is Alfred Nzo East alone because of its sheer size and shall I say, communities there, they do the, I might sound very awkward, the population demographics, they are across, let me put it like that. So you don't need to talk, but Basel and Zotada no mama pa. I can't against Golden Zufalwa, you go like that. Along the coast, if you talk Mbizana, Lusikisiki, Flagstaff, Port St. John's, you don't have a problem of small schools there. Yes, I can, Papa. Yeah, by a tag, what one? By a dapula, which I want to buy a tag, a shop. Yeah. So that's what took us to 12 districts, yeah. And we've appointed interim district directors. We've given them 1 year, starting from April up to April next year, that they must start aligning even seconds. We tested them, went them right, made them write aptitude test, or what we call that test, competency test. Yes. So that we are able to determine whether you took a teacher and placed the teacher in the garden. And after the competency test, the results showed us that we need to reshuffle others. You are a district director. Therefore, the emphasis is that you are a director. You're not tied to this district. We can make you a director in any place. That's what we have done. So by now, I can safely confirm, Honorable Samba, through you, Chairperson, that we've got 12 districts. Let me allow the, or let me speak on the health one, Honorable Members, because this point has been coming up. Yes, we've signed MOUs only this year. Was it this year? But without defending health, Honorable Members, I still remember that I had a privilege of working even with the previous MEC, Honorable Gopak. We did start work on the integrated school health program. My constituent area is in Willowvale. I know that the day hospital, for instance, was working with schools, first aid, brush your tooth, we give them soap, mobilize. So that work has been going on. But in terms of more serious work, developing something that guides us, a memorandum, it was only signed right now. But I can say that we don't have yet word-based. We're not so advanced, they are not there. Health might have them, social development might have them. Education has not yet. We must be honest when we speak in front of you. Because you're going to go there and find things not like that. Tomorrow I might have a problem in looking you in the face. So I must be honest. Some work has been happening, but at least we've started to consolidate. Thank you very much. Let me hand over to the head of the department. Thank you.
HOD, I've had engagements with you when you were still with TV. Yeah, and I hope you understand that I left with about 10 minutes
okay.
of your responses. If you just straight to the point, very comprehensive.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. We have accepted the guidance that you have provided us to say in which areas should we strengthen the report, and that we need to go back and prepare for your next visit, which is in November, so that at least when you visit again in those schools, to test whether the report that we have provided is accurate or not. But what we are really pleased with is the fact that you have guided us in terms of the development of a plan that looks into school rationalization, scholar transport, and hostel, and have a plan that speaks to that. So that when you, whether you rationalize or not, you must talk about the transport and hostel. We will be putting a plan together in terms of that guidance that we have provided to you, because we remember that we, in terms of your the infrastructure development in the province, we work also with national in terms of ACID program. So we have done some little bit of work towards that. I think the honourable member who spoke first was guiding us to say that put a plan together so that we can be tested against the plan in terms of school rationalization, scholar transport, and hostels. Secondly, there is an issue around which is critical for us about the principles who are imposed. Because what is clear to us is that principals of schools are appointed. And now when we raised matters of raising the bar in terms of the appointment of principals, we understood that firstly the policy as well as the act does not allow us, it favors the democratic processes in terms of appointment of people where school governing bodies have got the right to set up panels and the rest. But I think what we have looked into going forward is that the resource persons in the department, I know that there is something that is coming to lawmakers to say, review the manner in which principals of schools at least are appointed. So that we just avoid this question of us, now and again, we talk about how principals are appointed. If that could be looked at in terms of the review of the policy by yourself, it might assist us a great deal at that level. But in the meantime, what we are doing, we are strengthening the appointment of principals by the resource persons who sit in the interviews to guide the SCPs around the implementation of the existing policy. Because it is difficult for us, and we have not delegated that function to anyone. It remains with the office of the HOT. So that at least someone becomes the principal of the school is somebody who's competent. Those are the things that we are looking into, just to avoid this issue that you make a recommendation and send to the head of the department. The head of the department would have to engage with the portfolio of evidence, whether this person is actually capable or not. Because he is the accounting officer, he must make the final decision, not just to appoint. So that is the route that we are taking in this regard. I think the Honourable MEC will be able to inform you about this transformation agenda that we've adopted, the seven pillars of the transformation, which provide a comprehensive approach to how we are addressing the challenges in the province. But of critical importance, the MEC spoke to you about the structure that we have now we've got now a draft new Aquanagra, which will help us to fill in critical posts. That is why when he reported, he raised the issues around the special schools. And in addition, you will hear that we've got now a grant fund reinforced to deal with special schools. We've got a grant fund approved by the National Treasury, which is started this year, and which focuses on how we're going to deal with special schools in the province. I mean, in all provinces specifically. So there will be a positive reporting around special schools in going forward. But we accept the also your recommendation around the regulations for the declaration of technical high schools. You see, the reality of the matter is that these technical high schools are skewed in the manner that the MEC raised the skewness of special schools. So regulation of the declaration of these technical high schools is important. We have sent a team to come to the Western Cape and to other provinces to study how these schools are, these schools of skills are structured, so that the recommendation that you have given to us, we can be able to implement. And the final report will be a report which will be given to the MEC after Friday, because the team will be sitting, so that we can be able to ensure that there's no skewness in terms of the dealing with the technical high schools, because this is a matter that you have raised with us. Second, lastly, I think the we have looked differently at issues of resourcing in the department. Hence, correctly so, that the issue of alignment with IDP, because what is the requirement now in the department is that to improve intergovernmental relations, the Department of Education needs to sit in the ITPs and provide reports there, so that we are able to be assisted, even on matters of rationalization. It's not only an education matter, because the minute we take it as if it's an education matter, it's a governance issue. That is why the MSS is collaborating now with mayors of the district municipalities. They started that process of collaborating with them on educating related matters, so that there is smooth intergovernmental relations, so that on matters that are critical, we are dealing with them. I think you might be pleased to find out that in terms of the declaration of the post, for the first time in the Eastern Cape, we have declared the post establishment. And as from today, we are distributing it to schools long before the 30th of September. And there's been agreement with unions around how we're doing it, because the suspicion around data has been resolved. So that is why we had to focus on that matter, because when you visit school, you find the shortage of teachers here and there. But also appreciating the fact that we have worked very well with the Education Labor Relations Council. In between the consultation that the MEC did, there's been facilitation in between, so that we take each other on board on critical areas that are needed. Also, you must remember that when a teacher is identified to be additional to a post establishment in a school, that teacher must move to the next school. And we had this issue that we need to resolve, which finally there is a resolution, and we're finding each other. Teachers are moving now in the Cape. Because if they don't move, you create a situation where you've got teachers who are additional to the establishment, and yet you've got vacancies somewhere else. So what we have done, we have also looked at coming with the concept of walk-ins. That's why the report, when we talk about the filling of post, we have been much more positive. But we are now dealing with a sustained way of how we are going to finalize the matter. Yes, you are correct about grade R. The province have had to look at a mechanism, one of looking to the conditions of grade R practitioners first. We have had two increases in terms of their stipends until the matter is regulated nationally. Because without that instrument nationally, it's difficult for provinces to have one common alignment. Because what I could remember is that there was this an understanding that says let's pay them 5,000. And other provinces could not take it because it has not been revised since there was that compromise position. We have done the provided with an increase for the practitioners, and we are also engaged with their professional development component. And the MEC in particular has paid special attention around the declaration of posts for educators who have obtained their qualification for them to be employed as within the foundation phase. And that is in progress because last year it declared 982 posts for the grade R practitioners to enter into the system. But because, as part and parcel of the foundation phase, but because of these challenges, we ended up only filling 46 posts, right? Because of the challenges that we talked. Having made agreements with unions, we had to come up to say, let's look at this thing in a manner that would ensure that there is equal distribution and identify even those areas that need this specific support. Hence, we've set aside 1,995 posts, okay, to assist the foundation phase for remedial, for IOR, for incremental introduction of African languages, as well as grade R. You see, we've put that particular package and we've provided 1,995 posts for all that so that we can be able to ensure that we promote reading and writing in our schools, because that is the objective. Yes, we have started working with the police, as well as SANTF in the province, especially with regard to improving the relationship between parents and the police. And we have had quite a number of camps in the hotspot areas. And hotspot areas, we found that it is not only Port Elizabeth. There are quite a number of hotspot areas where these things are reported. So we've started now having, establishing, not just to be a one-stop gap where people visit. No. It's a permanent relationship that we are establishing between schools as well as the police. Over and above, you adopt a school, the police, and we are going beyond to deal with the scourge of drug abuse, such as CISA principles, but in an environment which builds trust between the school community and the police, because sometimes people don't want to divulge information. You see. Because of that environment. Remember that in the in Port Elizabeth, for instance, there were three schools that were closed by gangsters. Mm-hmm. Closed.
Okay.
Gangsters going there into the school. We had to find a mechanism of working now with the police because teachers are afraid to go to schools in those areas. And as I'm speaking now, there are teams working there already. You see, in terms of resolving that matter. So it's a critical issue that we have raised and the critical issue that we have put a lot of emphasis on. Okay, thank you.
We are done with the responses. No,
we have not covered everything, Chairperson, but you also gave us
limited time. No, thank you, MEC and Head of Department. You are free to respond in writing to the committee. You send the responses via the secretary. Then she will disseminate to the rest of the members of the committee because you've got time constraints. Yes, I did limit you indeed. But a reply in writing on those issues that were not responded to. I'm not even going to give a chance to the official responsible for district coordination because of time limitations, but I hope in our next engagement, because it is very important to hear what is actually happening at that level, because districts are at the coal face of everything. I just want to say thank you, MEC and Head of Department, for the presentation as well as the responses. I think we're closing the meeting at a positive note that says it's not as bad as all of us had thought it is. The purpose of oversight, as you rightfully say, MEC, it's not to lambast or to witch hunt or to find fault. The purpose is to assist and support the provinces, because we are representative of provinces. Now, with what is happening here and the feedback that you're getting from you, MEC and HOD and the rest of the officials, is going to relieve stress kusamka unepp. Once something is bad said about Eastern Cape, it runs up and we've got to rush it to hospital. But I think now there's going to be that improvement, and also including metric results. I was happy when you said we look at percentages, but we don't look at, we tend not to focus on quality in terms of how many bachelors have I produced, comparatively speaking to another province that is 100%, but maybe fewer bachelors, that now talks to quality. We are very proud of that and want to thank you for that. Nonetheless, in 2017, I'm going to pray very hard. You are not going to take the last position. You certainly are not going to take the last position. I again tattoo woman. Nani again the pumuli. So we hope that we have done every intervention possible to ensure that we help your matriculants to write the examinations confidently, notwithstanding the challenges that are there. Go Limpopo, there was banning of schools last year, we went there, we're blowing up out fires. But that did not deter them. They did not get the last position. Nonetheless, you are in a far better situation, comparatively speaking. Kodwa ke siyanikhuthaza nje ukuthi produce more bachelors, but again shift enize kunoma kunumber six, noma kunumber seven at least. Sinboneni lapho. That is how I want to encourage you on behalf of the committee, as to say that keep up the good work. The challenges we shall all collaborate to try to handle are supporting you at our level of oversight. And the Department of Basic Education coming on board also. We have been there. You know what levers to pull, Mr. Gojana, to ensure that you assist the province to the best of your ability. Infrastructure issues. Oh, Minister of Education, Basic Education, as always, I think one school a week in the Eastern Cape. That is what he has always said. But that should be related to the kind of results that you produce. What is the point of building world-class kind of schools, and the results are not making that kind of situation now, are not aligned to that kind of situation. So I just want to say, with the meager resources that all the provinces have, including you, still go and try to do your best. But we appreciate the interventions and the change and the plan that we have. We are going to come to the Eastern Cape to verify the facts that you've given us today. In those ways, I just want to conclude the meeting, MEC. You can just make final concluding remarks in 2 minutes, and then we'll disperse.